Blog Talk Radio. Where are we?
At the head of the arroyo.
Moving.
This way, sir, slowly.
Automatic control. Batteries. Fire. Nothing. Batteries. Fire.
Hey, fire.
Randall.
Dead on target, sir.
Good. Give me audio car.
Aye, aye, sir.
Now, attention. May have been a ruse to divert us from some other part of the perimeter. You men will continue watching on your own immediate front. That is all. What?
It just stopped at the foot of the pass.
Are you sure you've got a real blip there?
Thick as a house, sir. And we were dead on target with both bursts. It's coming on again.
Straight across?
It shows here. It's still coming.
Great. Strong. Set up a crossfire on those rocks.
Thank you. am leaving soon. And you will forgive me if I speak bluntly. The universe grows smaller every day. And the threat of aggression by any group, anywhere, can no longer be tolerated. There must be security for all, or no one is secure. Now, this does not mean giving up any freedom, except the freedom to act irresponsibly. Your ancestors knew this when they made laws to govern themselves and hired policemen to enforce them. We of the other planets have long accepted this principle. We have an organization for the mutual protection of all planets and for the complete elimination of aggression. The test of any such higher authority is, of course, the police force that supports it. For our policemen, we created a race of robots. Their function is to patrol the planets in spaceships like this one and preserve the peace. In matters of aggression, we have given them absolute power over us. This power cannot be revoked. At the first sign of violence, they act automatically against the aggressor. The penalty for provoking their action is too terrible to risk. The result is, we live in peace, without arms or armies, secure in the knowledge that we are free from aggression and war, free to pursue more profitable enterprises. Now, we do not pretend to have achieved perfection, but we do have a system, and it works. I came here to give you these facts. It is no concern of ours how you run your own planet. But if you threaten to extend your violence, this earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder. Your choice is simple. Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you.
Salvage, right? She's sent to Gateway Station in hospital for weeks.
Side effect of such an unusually long hypersleep.
The company man, Bert, confirms all her fears.
You were out there for 57 years.
When she feels better, she has to go to court about blowing up the Nostromo and the alien she fought. In space, no one can hear you scream. At least that was the case with Ripley's last scene. No one believes her, now Ripley is shocked.
Because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
When they condescended, Ripley lets herself fly.
You can just kiss all that goodbye.
Van Leeuwen finds her guilty and confines her to a station for 6 months probation and a psych evaluation. Now the alien planet is occupied, apparently, a mining colony with
maybe 70 families.
A few months later and the company's in a fix.
We've lost contact with LV-426.
Why, this could be, the company's none the wiser.
I would like you there as an advisor.
Ripley says no, comes as no shock though when she decides to go on the ship's knock home. Although she's new, she joins the crew and they all wake up in their cryo-chew. Have a sleep, don't appeal, but it's part of the deal.
You look just like I feel.
A pole's more effective than any alarm.
Day in the Marine Corps like a day on the farm. They want me to do adventures of this way.
Hudson replies.
Thank you, sir. I'd like that.
Look into my eyes.
But Scouts does more push-ups than anyone can.
Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
They all get ready and go to have lunch.
The lieutenant's too good to eat with the rest of his friends.
Bishop does his knife trick as fast as he can. Hudson says,
oh, I'm funny, man.
The robot Bishop offers Ripley a plate.
Stay away from me, Bishop. You got that straight?
Now they're on a bug hunt. There's no doubt about it.
How do I get out of this chicken shit out?
Vasquez makes light of the death of Ripley's crew.
I hope you're right. I really do.
By 6 a.m. he wants the preparations done and clear.
Assholes and elbows.
There's an empty power loader and Ripley gets on it. To show off in front of Hicks, she says,
where you want it?
They pose with the smart gun, submissions way easy. They pour through the door and board the APT. Inside the dropship, the armor car parks. The Pharaoh's about to blast off.
One member.
Not much to frown, Hudson's acting a clown.
Express elevator to hell. Going down.
The dropship dies, whoever keeps them alive.
We're in the pipe, 5 by 5.
They get there quick to LV-426, they pull there.
Somebody wake up here.
The dropship lands, the APC is mad. They jump out of plan, then the landscape is scanned. They inspect the first deck, the checks are reserved. As they expect, the complex is deserted. Rain from above comes down in a flood, homes burned by the aliens.
That's it from blood.
Contained in meds that have all parasites to see.
Looks like love at first sight to me.
An alert is heard on the motion tracker, but it's a little girl who will go and catch her. She dies down the chute, but Ripley's in pursuit. After a brief dispute, she becomes a new recruit. The girl is cute, but appears to be mute. They get to the roof. They scan for the colonists, data information. They find them at the atmosphere processing station. A bomb brings up the rear, they have no fear. They pack up the gear, the colonists are near.
What is it, Hudson?
The image ain't clear.
You tell me, man, I only work here.
Ripley spots an immediate danger.
They're right under the primary heat exchanger.
Look, we can't have any firing in there.
He's fucking crazy.
They don't think it's fair. That's when they find the colonist cocooned in the wall.
Get over here with that live one!
They hear Dietrich call. Blood sprays through a vest and a baby alien burst through a chest. They wipe out the alien with a torrent of flame. They got themselves to blame. The tracker goes insane.
They didn't show up on his thread at all.
But Dietrich out the wall is the first to fall. With Dietrich lost, next goes lost. Ammunition goes off at a terrible cost. It's all gone wrong.
What is going on?
But this is the end of the sergeant's career.
Sergeant's gone! Get the fuck out of here!
They're taking a knock, they're all in shock, but the scouts are last as a blast.
Let's run!
A rescue is something normal might allow.
Get them out of there! Do it now!
Ripley takes charge after strapping all the crew in.
Ripley,
what the hell are you doing? She climbs to the site to clean up this mess, then crashes through the wall at the alien nest. There's no time for grieving, those that aren't breathing. As they bring up the rear, Vasquez makes a mistake, and a flood of acid blood gets the face of poor Drake. They try to close the door, they hear a deep hiss. Hicks grabs his shotgun and shouts,
"Eat there!"
Then Ripley speeds away, escaping the monster. The box falls where it's stored, knocking Gorman unconscious. An alien drops from the top, but is not from the ride. A lantern crashes past through the glass doors outside. Hicks gets it to stop by saying, "Look down!" They patch themselves up and throw some ideas around. Ripley is undaunted, she gets things sorted.
We take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
The drop ships on its way, a bit overshored. The Ferret doesn't know about the alien on board. With the pilot gone, the ship slices with the boulders, releasing still arms from Ripley and the soldiers. The APC and dropship go supernova.
Game over, man. Game over.
They decide to go inside, listening to new closely.
They must become nice.
After the Marines' annihilation, they head back to operations to fortify the station for more alien invasions. Stockpiling the weapons and collecting all the rations, Ripley checks the company log to find out how it happened. It was Bert being a jerk that made the situation fall.
You sent them out there and you didn't even warn them.
Bishop calls a meeting with everyone attending.
That's it.
Emergency venting.
The cooling towers ruptured during the battle early on. The place was going to explode and they didn't have long. Someone's got to go to the uplink tower to remote pilot the dropship within the next hour. Bishop volunteered but no one else in the group did.
I may be synthetic, but I'm not stupid.
So they open up a tunnel, Bishop gets inside, but it'll take a while to get there because it isn't very wide. Then Ripley goes for a nap with Newt on the floor, but when she wakes up she has a shock in store. Somebody came in and set the facehuggers free, then locked the lab door so Ripley can't flee. Ripley waves to the camera hoping they will be seen, but Burke slowly turns off the monitor screen. The gun's in the other room now, but they just can't make it.
Break the glass!
The windows won't break, but Ripley uses the head and sets off the fire alarm instead. That's when a facehugger hops from up on the top. She throws it away, but it cannot be stopped. Luke starts screaming up and Hicks will find her, but doesn't know it's the facehugger behind her. That's when the Marines arrive and Hicks jumps through the glass. Hudson pushes Luke aside, shooting a facehugger fast. The rest will gather around to try and save Ripley. They pull the parasol off her and they take it out quickly. She throws the door because her throat is still hurt. To get back to operation to start giving Burke hell, Hudson says,
"This dog needs hell."
Alright, we waste him.
The mood has gone sour, the lights go out, Ripley said.
The
motion tracker goes off, there's movement in the hall, so they see that the doors are back against the wall.
Inside the room.
So Hicks gets in the ceiling and illuminates the gloom. The aliens drop down, the situation's dire. Burke makes his escape while the Marines are on fire. He blocks the barricade as the banging on the door comes face to face with another xenomorph. The Marines are outnumbered, Hudson setting in the score. When they come from underneath him and they pull him through the floor, but scares most of the door, doesn't look like it'll last. With the action still behind him, it looks like they're stuck, but they're in luck. Luke leads them down the air duct. Hicks asks Bishop how long until he's finished.
ETA, 16 minutes.
I'll get Bishop to rear as the aliens attack. But after from an alien, puts them on the back. Gorma goes to help her, but then comes the unexpected. An alien bursts up and blocks the only exit. They get out some grenades and finish the job for them.
You always were an asshole, Gorma.
The other three escape. Luke's hit by a blast. She slips through Rippy's grasp on the ventilator shaft. They're spurred on now by the tracker alert, but when they get to the nip, Hicks gets hurt. They have to take off his armor as acid disintegrates it. Ripley has to carry in, doesn't look like he will make it. Ripley gets into the dropship, puts Bishop on the spot. She wants to rescue Newt.
We're not leaving!
We're not?
She loads up all the guns and prepares to save her with the person who located the hit she gave her. She goes to sub-level 3 despite Bishop's insistence.
15 minutes to reach minimum safe distance.
She'll follow Newt's signal until she is found, but that's when she finds the wristband on the ground. Newt starts screaming. Luckily, Ripley hears her and blasts the face hugger before it gets nearer. She picks up Newt gently without being seen, but then accidentally backs into the Queen. The Queen sees that Ripley is after the teeth, so she calls off the guards and lets Ripley retreat. She's just about out without the aliens harassing, but then an egg opens and Ripley starts blasting. Ripley goes mental, and who can blame her? She shoots everything inside, destroying the egg chamber. After wasting all the ammo, which would be handy later, she escapes with Luke to the nearest elevator. But the launch pad is empty of dropship and crew. The lift opens up, the Queen's managed to find her, the Bishop dropship appears behind her. They jump on the ramp, and are chased by the Queen. The ship's caught in debris, but then it breaks free. They fly off into complex, melt up below them, and the dropship is dropped by a nuclear explosion. They get back safe. Bishop did great. The artificial person is finally her mate. But they failed. Bishop's impaled right up to the hilt, ripped in half, drew in blood like a fountain of milk.
Here!
Says Ripley and runs to the door to distract the Queen while Newt hides in the floor. The Queen gets frustrated, the Queen escaping without hesitating, starts ripping up the grating. But before much waiting, Ripley comes straight in, all with a power over and a class 2 rating. Newt's trapped in a ditch, screaming high pitch.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Ripley's now locked and cleans the Queen's top. Who gets knocked across the dog over to the airlock. But without a pause, the Queen grabs her with a claw. And they fall with force on the loading bay doors. Ripley's first up and quickly climbs the ladder. The Queen's pinned down but still manages to grab her. But Ripley isn't done. She activates the control and throws the Queen alien right out of the hole. She flies into space and now she's been disposed. Ripley pushes the button to make sure the door's closed. Although Bishop's torn in half, he's still friendly to them.
Not bad for a human.
They get in their cryo tubes after defeating the Queen. Newt is finally safe.
Can I dream?
They go to hypersleep and head home with speed. But the survivor's future would be dark indeed. But mysteriously, some eggs have ended up on board. Facehuggers make their way to where the cryo tubes are stored. An electrical fire is started by acid, and the pods are rejected because the damage is massive. Newt drowns in the tube because they crash in the sea, and Hicks dies on impact, impaled by a beam. Bishop is smashed beyond repair, and Ripley is forced to shave off her hair. But worst of all, it turns out the bitch is back. The planet's prisoner population is promptly attacked. They have no weapons. Ripley has to use her hair to burn the alien in hot lead instead. The company comes looking, but before they can find her, Ripley kills herself. She had an alien inside her. And if you bought this story went in a funny direction, wait until you see Alien Resurrection.
Game over, man!
heard, the machines have gathered an army, and as I speak, that army is drawing nearer to our home. Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here before you now, truthfully, unafraid. Why? Because I believe something you do not? No. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. I remember that for 100 years they have set their armies to destroy us. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us shake this cave. Tonight, let us tremble these halls of earth, steel, and stone. Let us be heard from red bar to black sky. Tonight, let us make them remember. This is Zion, and we are not afraid. We'll be right back.
agreed that unless something is done and done quickly, man as the dominant species of life on Earth will be extinct within a year.
On your full cooperation with the military authorities.
Yes, cities, nations, even civilization itself, threatened with annihilation because in one moment of history-making violence, nature, mad, rampant, wrought its most awesome creation. But born in that swirling inferno of radioactive dust were things so horrible, so terrifying, so hideous, there is no word to describe them.
We may be witnesses to a biblical prophecy come true, and there shall be destruction and darkness come up in creation, and the beast shall reign over the earth.
Yes, the earth, the skies above and the seas below, infested by swarms of nightmare creatures, crueler, deadlier than the armored giants of prehistoric eras. Here is a wild headlong flight into terror, as the desert erupts with the grim battle for survival. Here is a fear-frenzied moment of suspense, as mankind totters before a thing that multiplies faster than it can be killed. Here is a desperate plunge into the black depths of the earth, where human courage challenges the brute force, the slashing jaws, the poison fangs that guard the subterranean nest where the beast spawns its terrible progeny.
To all units, condition red. Drain 267 is the target area. Repeat, condition red. Drain 267 is the target area.
Is there any type of gas we can use?
No, we can't take a chance. It might poison the whole city.
desert road from Vegas to nowhere. Someplace better than where you've been. A coffee machine that needs some fixing. In a little cafe just around the bend.
Closer, we believe. ourselves this need. Watching as the stars disappear to nothing. The day the world is over, all we'll be lying in bed.
University of Mars Rec Center. I am your host, DJ Honeycomb, and we have spent time in the mind stream, dabbling with a little sci-fi funk, and a little this and a little that, just to see what it's like on Mars. Yes. I got my buddy Gary with me here. What's up, G?
University of Mars, Gary, right here.
Yes, indeed, UFM in the house, and I'm glad we had a chance to play a little bit of this because, like my man Morpheus said, I am still here. You know, we were talking about COVID, and we were saying COVID's no joke.
No.
It isn't no joke. It isn't a joke at all. As a matter of fact, I almost died from it. And I want to say this so that all those people who were caring and didn't care and don't care and whatever, get the story straight. I returned from Canada where I was enjoying myself, thinking I was getting better. Came back on the 31st and was not feeling good. A little sluggish, but I just thought it was from the travel. Anyway, that Thursday, it was a little rough transitioning. Friday was worse, and Saturday was even worse. And that's when COVID started to get on my head. I laid back wondering what I would do. And it got to a point where I knew I had to do something or do nothing. I was wondering things like, what was the last song I was going to hear, the last noises were ever going to come out of my mouth or someone else's mouth. So I ended up in Jefferson Hospital in ICU for 48 hours. Whatever it was, I must have guessed right because they were talking about plugging in respirators and all that, but it didn't get to that.
Yeah.
I survived, and I'm still here.
Yep.
Now, because I'm still here, there's others I have to thank, but two birthday shout-outs must go out. One to my grandson, Miles David Efecito, who recently had a birthday. Happy birthday, little buddy. And hope you were indulged to the nth degree on your birthday. Feliz cumpleaños. Cumpleaños, feliz. Yes. In my bad Spanish. And shout out to Marty, who had a birthday Saturday, but it's probably responsible for me still being here, because were it not for her, I probably would not have gone into the ICU or even thought about doing emergency that night. But it was bad. But anyway, now that we are on point here, and it looks like I get to live whatever life I have left, I'm thankful for the fact that everybody who said they were going to be there, who did whatever they did, revealed themselves straight away. Now, I shall get on with my own life, as I'm sure they will with theirs. But more importantly, it's another reminder that life is too short. And when it's telling you right in your face that it's too short, you better listen.
Yeah. Michael, there's a Chinese Korean proverb.
Okay.
And this proverb says, once you reach the age of 68,
really, 68?
You have 3,400 days left.
Oh, no shit.
Now, you had that up, right?
Yeah.
3,400 days. That's almost 10 years.
10 years, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't think about that until I got 68.
I hear you.
Wait a minute. There's 10 more years here?
Yeah.
So you're right. You start thinking about, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this?
Right.
What do I need to say? Who do I need to say it to?
Mm-hmm. Yep, those are things you do think about. I do know when I was in ICU, it was on my mind. I have to admit that. But I also say, it was even more important that the things that I was going to leave behind weren't as important. All I cared about was whether or not someone was going to take care of me and love me for me. And we haven't seen that sort of thing happen very often. Too often, the roses are late to come. You don't get to smell them. And you know what I mean. But fortunately, music helped bring me back. And music is something I've connected with ever since I was little. I'm connected now, even as we come out of this little session here. Music brings me back. It gives me a reason to celebrate. It gives me a reason to pat my foot and say, you know, that's all right. And part of the reason we do this show is because we want to translate in as many ways as possible what soul means and what soul is. And I am thankful that I've had this opportunity to do so for the 10 years I put this show on the air. So if your proverb means I got another 10 years in me, I'll see what I can do about getting another 10 years out of me. Any last words before I go back to work?
Well, I want people to come and do the third round on Wednesday.
Yep.
I have something very, very important to say about the National Football League. Michael, I might not be watching any more football games. That's what I saw today.
Really? What happened?
Yeah. FanDuel and DraftKings.
Yes, I saw that.
Taking over
Well, come on, you know it's about the money. You know it's about
okay,
that.
Okay, well, I'm saying this. Tom Brady got sacked in the fourth quarter.
Right.
It was a normal Zach. Referee called roughing the passer.
Oh, yes, of course. You should know that background.
Okay, but if they didn't call roughing the passer, it'd be fourth down.
Of course.
And the other team would have got the ball. That's where this is going.
We know that's going to lead to some Dick Dastardly action. And we also know the house always wins.
Yep. And the boys and red was three.
Uh-huh. We'll get into that for sure on Wednesday. Something special, 9 p.m. Wednesday evening. And despite for all that, Rick, you
and
me, Tony, and
me. Next week I'm gonna do the young Michael Jackson and Jackson 5, the young ones. When 1969 and 1972.
Little Mikey. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
That sounds like that
yep.
could be fun. You know what, brother? I'm looking forward to that because music is fun. Well, at least it has been for me. And I'm going to give a shout-out to my friends at Invasion Force Radio for being so patient because they've been wanting to jam with some Monster Mash action for a while now. And
ooh, the Monster Mash?
I want to give them their idea of a Monster Mash and everybody else here how they do it on Mars. I also want to say everybody that's a member of Groove 5 Groove, all Groove 5 Groove members are admitted free. All you have to do is show your ID card.
All right.
Just tell everybody a little thing that they should do, Gene.
You need to wash your hands. And you need to take the vaccine. And please be kind. Three dirt. I'm just too damn short to mess around.
Please.
Yeah.
please be kind to each other. And be kind to each other by washing your ass. Please wash your ass. Oh, God. I don't want you smelling wild onions and ass gravy. Yes, please. You know, if you're going to practice cleanliness and godliness and all that, go shower with somebody. I don't know. I don't care. Just go wash your ass. What we will do, though, is go out to my boys from Invasion Force Radio. And everybody, please, go safe, stay safe, be safe. If you're traveling or whatever, you know, once you get from point A to B and back to A, okay.
I'm gonna love you. We'll be right back. Baby, I want to give you a stand on, baby, 'cause I'm sure a man. big leg dancing girl. Some people like to cheat and play. Others like to lay all day. But I'm the type who's on my feet. With my big leg girl. With my big leg girl.
in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around. Running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, a dead end world. The East End boys and West End girls. In a West End town, a dead end world. The East End boys and West End girls.
You got it, you get it, so how often would you choose a hard or soft option?
Read the news and turn the pages and watch them.